And begin the current daf, Masechta Zevachim daf Pei Gimel. Begin three lines down at the top of the Yamut. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which continued on the theme of the previous Mishnah before that, regarding the halacha of Nichnas L'chaper. Someone brought in blood that belongs in the outside Mizbeach, and instead he brought it inside the Heichel to atone. So there's a machlekes in the Mishnah regarding if the violation and the invalidation is going to be only when he actually does an atonement, or even if he doesn't do an atonement. So the Gemara elaborates on that machlek. Is Tanya Lidna Brayson? He says Nemer Kan L'Chaper B'Kodesh. It says over here in the pasuk regarding this violation of bringing the outer blood into the oil ma'id, into the sanctuary itself, to atone in the holy things, which then one cannot eat it. That invalidates the carbon. And they use the words L'Chaper B'Kodesh. V'Nemer L'Hal. It says over there when it forewarns every person to separate themselves from the heichal, from the sanctuary, at the time when the Kohen Gadol is bringing the Ketairis, Lefnai V'Lefnim, in the Holiest of Holies, on Yom Kippurim, the Pasuk says, V'chol Adam Lo Yiyah Be'Oil Moed, no person shall be in the sanctuary, B'Voyoy L'Chaper B'Kodesh, when the Kohen Gadol comes to atone in the holy thing. So use the same words. There it says L'Chaper B'Kodesh, here it says L'Chaper B'Kodesh. So says Rabbi Yezer, you make the following Zereshava. Malahal, and just to go, but there when it says, B'Voyoy L'Chaper B'Kodesh, when he's coming, when the Kohen Gadol is coming to atone in the holy things, sounds like the context is when he's beginning to do, on his way to do the atonement, that's when all his colleagues are forewarned to separate themselves from the oil might. So therefore, when it says L'chaper B'Kodesh, what it means to say is B'Shalei Kippur, when he didn't atone yet, meaning when he's on his way, B'Vayai. So therefore, Avkan, here also when he uses the same words, Ashayuva Midam L'chaper, when he's bringing from his blood to atone, it means from the beginning of its bringing, with the intention to atone, that's when it becomes invalidated. Therefore, even though it's B'Shalei Kippur, even though it was not atoned yet, but he brought it in, on its way, just like you see over there when it says L'chaper B'Kodesh, the context of the pasuk is when he's on his way to do it, even though he didn't atone yet. Everyone has to separate. Here also, the pasuk that's told about the invalidation of not to eat this carbon anymore is on its way to be brought in, even if it wasn't atoned for. And that's why, like he was quoted in our Mishnah, said the violations, even if there was no atonement. Reb Shimon, I mean, he learns it differently. It says, Nemer Kan L'chaper. Yeah, it says over in the pasuk to atone. V'nem L'Halan, it says over there also in the context of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, but it says there later on in Vayikra, it says, Ves parachatas, ves sirachatas. He brings a par and a sar, two different sin offerings. One for the par was for the Kohen and his family and the Kanim. The sar, the higot, was for the Jewish people. So the pasuk continues, Ashahu ves dam l'chaper, which their blood is brought inside the heichel and even into the Kodesh Kodeshim to atone for the Kohanim and for the Jewish people. So that's what the pasuk says. So says Reb Shimon, ma lahalin b'shekeeper, just like over there, when they use the word l'chaper, it's obviously referring to the context is when he already did atone. Because that pasuk, what's the pasuk talking about over there? When it says, v'es parachatas, it says that the par and the sar, that he brings the blood inside l'chaper b'kodesh, in the holy area, meaning in the heichal and the kodesh kodeshim. The pasuk continues, it says, so he takes that out to outside of the Jewish camp, and he burns it in fire, the hide, the flesh, everything. None of that meat is eaten. Now, we know that therefore when the pasuk says l'chaper, means that the atonement already was, because the burning of the meat of the carbon is only after the atonement, after the avodas of the dam were done. And it says l'chaper, so afkam b'shekeeper. Here also when it says l'chaper, in the context of the violation of bringing the blood of a chatas echatzayin inside, when it says l'chaper, it means that the atonement already was, and that's why Shimon said in our Mishnah, that the invalidation is only if an atonement actually was done. But if it was just brought in, that's not going to invalidate. Says the Gemara B'Makim, regarding what are they disagreeing about? Yeah, you could compare the word l'chaper b'kodesh, like Rabbi Eliezer did, to a different pasuk, or like Rabbi Shimon, that you learn it out from a different pasuk l'chaper. So why do one learn out from one place and the other one from a different one? Says the Gemara, because Marasav Rabbi Eliezer held, Don and Chutz, we learn a halacha regarding the blood of something that applies to the outside, meaning the chatos hachatzanyas, which it's that chatos is the blood is supposed to be thrown on the outer altar. Now the pasuk is teaching you that the kohen who's doing the avodah should stand on the outside, meaning and not bring the blood inside. That you learn out mechutz from the same idea from this person who the pasuk forewarns him that he should also stand on the outside when the kohen gadol is doing the avodah inside. So they're both the same idea: stay outside. But vein dan chutz mebifnem. But you're not going to learn out the halacha of keeping something on the outside from something that is done on the inside, which is the par v'yom kippurim, where if it's brought inside, that's the mitzvah that it's supposed to be. So you can learn out from there like Reb Shimon does, which is to show that it, the atonement already was, already, although it has the same word l'chaper, but that's something that's done inside. We'd rather learn on chutz from chutz and not from panim. Whereas a mar, so Reb Shimon held, no, done in behema mi behema. We learn that the halachas of what we're talking about in the context of our Mishnah, of chatois hachitzain is, from those karma chatois, where it becomes invalidated when it's l'chaper b'kodesh, from another karma chatois, which is chatois apanimius, which is regarding what the Kohen Gadol brings at Mikipurim, where they would also use the word l'chaper, and therefore, since they're both chatois, they're both animals, so just like over there, l'chaper means after it was already atoned, here also the invalidation is only after it was already atoned. But they ain't done behemah ma'adam. We're not going to learn the halachas of an animal where it uses l'chaper from a person which it uses l'chaper and l'chaper by kodesh. And therefore, although over there it means before the atonement, but we're not going to learn the halachas of our behemah of chatas v'chatzayna from a person which was to keep them out when the Kohen Gadol was doing avodah mikipurim. And that's why they learn that from different sources. Would you rather learn the chutz from chutz or learn out the halacha of behemah from behemah? Now the Mishnah continued, and Rabbi Hudaimer Chulu, he added that regarding this, when do we invalidate the blood of a chatois chatzayin when it comes into the heichel? He said, "Hichnas shugya kasher." It says, "Look, if it was brought in by mistake, then it's still going to be valid." Now, on that, the Gemara asks, the inference is, "Hamez is puzzle." But if the person brought it in deliberately, then it would be invalid. So, the question is, but according to which opinion does he hold? Because we just quoted a machlekes before in the Mishnah that between Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, when you deliberately bring in the blood. Is it b'shekeper? But is it only when he actually does an atonement inside like Reb Shimon, and that's what he holds like? Oh, b'shekeper, or even is it even when you don't atone, and like Reb Eliezer? So we know that he holds that when it's by mistake, there's not going to be an invalidation, but deliberate yet, but when it's deliberate, which one? With atonement, or even without atonement? So I'm Rabbi Yirmi, he says, I'll bring a raya from the following b'raisa. The b'raisa says the following halacha, Mimash m'shenemar, we would understand from this that it says in the pasuk, which we quoted just before, Vespar hachatas vesir hachatas, regarding the karbanis that the Kohen Gadol does inside Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichel, which is the par that he brings for his family and the Kanim, and the Sar, which is brought for the Jewish people, called the Sar LaHashem, Ashahuv has dam, which their blood is brought in, L'chaper B'Kodesh, to atone in the holy area. Now, so I would know from the pasuk what the halacha is that it's stated in that context. Matam Aloymer asked the Brisa, what is the teaching when it says V'hasayrif? Which it then continues in the next pasuk, and it says, and the one who burns it, which sounds like that there's a necessity of it. What's the necessity of talking about that? Where it says, if whoever, now, because after that, the Kohen Gadol does the avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then so a Kohen would take it outside, and he would have to burn it, and then the one who burns it, the pasuk says, he should have to wash his garments, and he has to bathe his body in water, and then he could come back into the Bachta. What's the necessity of saying that? Ask the Gemara, Matam Alem Vasarif, what are you asking? What is the necessity of that pasuk of saying regarding burning as if you want to learn out from something? Legufi Yitzuch. It's necessary to say the halacha what the pasuk says, to teach you that whoever burns the flesh of these chatois hanisrafim, these parma nisrafim, he has to go ahead and wash his clothing, that his clothing become tummy. So Ella rather says the Gemara, what the Braisa was saying is, no. Says the Braisa, Matam Alem Chatas Chatas. The question was actually on the previous pasuk, where it says in the previous pasuk, Espar hachatas, Vesir hachatas. Why say the word chatas two times? Oh, that says the Braisa, Lefish lo ilamadnu el lepar besar shem kippurim, because if we only had this pasuk as it's written in its simple understanding, I would only know regarding these two karbanos that they on the context of Yom Kippurim, which is the par and the sar, that only over the ishin is sraf and abes adesh, and that they should be burnt out of the camp with the ashes of the Mizbeach were always placed, which actually Rashi says, this is actually not the main idea, because the primary halacha of burning these karbanis that are the hanisrafim, where the ashes of the Mizbeach were put, it's actually not written over here by the Par Nisrafim of Mikipurim. It's actually learned that from Par Helm Dovish Al Tzibur, when the Sanhedrin make an erroneous ruling and the Jewish people follow, which was also one of the Nisrafim. Rather, the primary point, says Rashi, is actually the next thing, and I would only know regarding parents and Mikipurim, that metamin begodim, that it conveys tumah to the garments of the one that burns it, where that it only says in the context of the parents of Mikipurim. And that's why the Braisa was saying that matam alem v'asayrif, we don't mean v'asayrif, because yeah, we need that next pasuk to say that actual halacha. But we mean to say, in the context of the halacha of v'asayrif, why does it say chatas chatas two times? because I would only know it applies to the Paran the Sabim Kimpurim, Shan the Saf Minayin. How do I know the same halacha applies to Paran Dabashal Tzibur? So regarding all other Karbanis that also has this halacha that they get burnt, and let's say like a regular Karmachatas, its meat is not eaten. Tamalay Mechatas Chatas de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that's the extra word Chatas to say not only these Karbanis, but all these other types of sin offerings that are also Han the Safim, that also, the one who burns the meat outside the machna also has to wash his garments. Now, Rebbeinu Omer, he disagrees. He says, no, ain't the tzarech. You don't need to learn that this halacha that applies to all these hanesrafim from chatas chatas. Because he says, from the pasuk itself, you could understand this idea, where the pasuk was relating the reasoning of why the begadim become tamei, because it was huve as dam al-chab, because its blood was brought into the Heichel to create an atonement. So says Rebbe Meir, so therefore you understand from the context of the pasuk itself that anything which is taken inside to do its avodah, that when then it gets burned, then it will transmit tumah to the garment of the one that's burning it. Because really the pasuk should have only written v'asher huva. Says Rebbe Meir, harei yoyim, the pasuk says as follows, v'spar achatas v'sir achatas. And he's not learning off the extra words achatas. But she'in tamalei melechapa, but there's really nothing that we're learning out from the word to atone. Why say those words? Rather, you should have just said vespar achatas vesir achatas. Why add on the word lechaper? Ma tamalei melechaper? Ah, says Remeir, limid al kol hameskapim. The word extra word lechaper is coming to teach you, because we know that these par and sar of Yom Kippur are atoning. Rather, it's coming to teach you regarding all those things that atone in the same way that the blood is brought inside the Shehuvez Damim, that's brought inside the Heichel to do the Avodah. Shasar from Matama Begadim, the extra word Lechaper is coming to teach you this idea that the reasoning and therefore that rationale would apply to all these types of Nisrafim, that the one who burns it, he has to, it conveys to him to his garments and he has to wash it. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Lechaper le Mashmalei. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, he learns of an extra word Chatas Chatas. He obviously does not understand that extra word Lechaper to be the source for the halacha that applies to all these karbanis that are hanasrafim that are atoning inside the heichal. Says the Gemara, my time, why does Rabbi Yehuda not learn enough from the next word lechaper? Oh, concludes the Gemara, prove, lab misham de mibayle, isn't it because he needs it? In other words, he's already using this word lechaper, legzeres shava, which gezeres shava? The gezeres shava of Rabbi Shimon that we mentioned before, that it comes to teach us regarding the outer bloods, that if one brings the blood inside, that it's only going to be invalidated if, like Rabbi Shimon said, if it was lechaper. Because he learns out Gzeir Shava from lechaper b'kodesh, just like over there it says lechaper and it's already that it was already done, he wrote so lechaper is only when it was done. And therefore, that's why he doesn't learn like Rabbi Meir, that it's saying that the reasoning that, because why he conveys tumah to the garments is because the one who burns it is that huvez damim. No, that's why, according to his reasoning, he had to learn out from chatas chatas to include all the other panemias, because he couldn't use lechaper, like Rebbe Meir said, because he already used it for the gezeirah of Rebbe Shimon, and therefore we conclude, we know now, when Rebbe Yehuda says, b'shegig, then there's no problem, but b'mezid, yes, who's he like? Rebbe Shimon, no, like Rebbe Eliezer, obviously he's like Rebbe Shimon, and that's why, because he used lechaper already to tell you this halacha of Rebbe Shimon, that one already did the kapar, only then bemazed it, and there's an atonement, then it validates. But if he did it deliberately and there was no atonement, then there's not going to be a problem. Hanulach kal hazvachim, which I will turn to the 8th parak of Masechta Zvachim, parak kal hazvachim. And with that, we begin the 9th parak, parak hamezbech mekadosh, like the title of the parak talks about regarding that hamezbech mekadosh. The altar sanctifies even something that's pasul, that's invalid, but if it was put on top of the mezbech sanctifies it and then makes it like, so to speak, the bread of the Mizbeach, and it's already something that now, okay, the Mizbeach is going to consume it, and one does not take it down. But however, qualifies the Mishnah, that's only esheroloi, only something that's fit for it, meaning that was already verified that it is something that belongs as a portion to be on the Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that that comes to exclude like a case of the kmitza, the fistful of a flour offering, which after it was taken out from the rest of the mincha, was not yet sanctified in the vessel, that wasn't yet verified to be a portion for Hashem, because it has to first be sanctified, only then can be put up. So although it's a kemitza, but that's not going to be considered as a role, and according to everyone that you'll say yerdu, that it will come down from Mizbeach. Now, so therefore, although that really a mincha was already sanctified in the vessel when you first put all of the flour and the oil in the vessel initially, that wasn't the portion that was verified and designated for the Mizbeach, for Hashem. Because one does not sacrifice the whole entire flour offering. It's only the fistful. But the fistful without putting it into a vessel was not yet clarified and verified for the Mizbeach, and that wouldn't be considered as a role. Now, continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Shua, I mean, he says, and the idea over here that we have the machlekes in the Mishnah is, we have a machlekes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel in how to qualify. The Mishnah opened up with an ambiguous statement from Rebbe that said, look, Mizbech is Makadosh, Eser Roloi, which is excluding, if it's not Ro, it's not fit for the Mizbech, it will not sanctify it and it will come down if it's Pasal. On that, the Mishnah now comes to explain and clarify what means Eser Roloi, so that we have a machlekes. Rabbi Shua says, it means Kala Roli Ishim. Whatever was initially fit to be burnt on the fires of the Mizbeach, there's a few things that are done on the Mizbeach. There's the libations that are poured in the corner, then there are things that are thrown on the Mizbeach, like blood. Then there are things that are, there's a fire in the middle of the Mizbeach, a few fires, and those are like the limbs, the sacrificial parts, and those things are burnt on the fires. Says Rabbi Shua, it's only things that are fit for the fires that then became possible. That regarding those things, we're going to say the halachim other layered. If it was put up, then you're not going to take it down. Which that's excluding, let's say, if the blood became invalidated, or the nesachim, the libation became invalidated, which those things are not put in the fire. That says Rabbi Shua that we never said im alu layered that if it went up on the mizbech, we're not going to take it down. Conscious, like we're going to see, Rabbi Gamliel, however, holds. Whatever is fit for the Mizbeach in general that became possible is what we're talking about. He includes even Dam and the Sachem. And the only thing that you would exclude that's never was never verified at all for any portion of Mizbeach at all, that's like the Gemara is going to explain, is the Kemitzah, is the fistful of the flour, which was never sanctified in the vessel. That is what Rimgli would be excluding from Eser Roloi. But again, Rabbi Shua is saying, whatever is fit for the fires, and all the layered. And how do you know this? Shunem, like the Pasuk says of Yikra. It says, Hi ha'oila al-maikta. This is the oil offering on its pyre, which is referring to that fire that's on Mizbeach, which how Rabbi Shui is expounding the pasuk is something that's lemaik, it's put on the fire in Mizbeach, that is oila. What do you mean oila? Oila besides meaning the oil offering also means that it was put up on top of Mizbeach, went up. That's what it's saying, he ha'oila, he is like, means to say that it should stay in its status, mean to say, once it was put up on the top of the fire, then you don't take it down. Then it retains its status, which he explains. Ma oila shehi ru le'ishim, just like the oila offering is fit for the fires, because the oila, all the limbs are totally burnt on the mizbeach. So that's where we say he oila imulsalay terah, that if it went up, we're not going to take it down. So that's where this is the binyan av that we learn out to all other halachas. Av kol shehu ru le'ishim, also anything else that's fit for the fires, which again, as we said, excludes the blood and the libations, as the Mishnah actually by itself is going to explain that's what's the difference between the opinion of Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, is only dam and asachim. So only something that's fit for the fires, then the mal layer, then if it went up on the top, you're not going to take it down. Now, however, Lilam, as we said, he says, no, color oil mizbech, anything that's fit for the altar, not just for the fires of the altar. Mal layer, if it went up, it's not going to be taken down. Shemek says in the pasuk, hi oila al mokta al mizbech. So he adds on the next two words of the pasuk. Not only that, what it says on the mokid, but al mizbech, anything that goes on the altar. Which teaches us ma oila sheiru lemizbeach, just like the oil is fit for the altar, and also like tarot, if it goes up, even though it's possible, you're not going to take it down. Av kol davar sheiru lemizbeach. So to anything that's fit for the altar, and also like tarot, if it went up, you're not going to take it down. This explains the Mishnah, as we said before. Ein bein divrei Rabbi Gamliel divrei Rabbi Yeshua. There's no difference in halacha between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Ella, but these two cases of hadam v'nesachim, the blood, which every carbon has blood that's thrown on the Mizbeach, and the Sachem, the libations, which is the wine that's poured together with a carbon. He says it doesn't come down, because these are things that are fit for the Mizbeach. So although it's possibly not supposed to, but once it was put up, you don't take it down. Rabbi Shua Aimer Yerdu says, no, you're going to take it down, because it was never Roli Ishim. There we never said the halacha of Baba Yossi, hey, that it'll stay up on the top, because it's only comparable to Ayla, which is on the Ishim, on the fires, and these things are not put on the fires, so if they became possible, you actually will take it down. Now the Mishnah concludes with a third opinion, Reb Shimon Aimer, and that is, as we're going to see, Reb Shimon holds in the case of when libations come with a carbon, which many times a carbon has neschehem, their libations, there he holds like Reb Yeshua that then it's going to, the nesachim are going to come down, if it's possible. But regarding when the libations come by themselves, there he holds like Gamliel that it was not going to come down. Now, but it's not because he's disagreeing in how to interpret the word maikta. Rather, the Gemara is going to explain he's actually coming from a totally different point of view, why there's a difference regarding if it's coming because of the carbon or if it's coming by itself. So says Reb Shimon, he says, look, if it's coming because of a carbon, so let's say Hazevach Kasher v'nesachim psulim. Let's say the carbon is still valid, but there was an invalidation regarding the libations. For example, let's say the Nesachim went out of the perimeter of the Hazara or they became Tamei, or even the other way around. Hanesachim Gesherim v'Hazevach Pasul. Let's say the Nesachim are still valid, but the carbon became Pasul. Now, so what does that have to do with the Nesachim? Is because since the Nesachim only come because they're a secondary to the carbon, so it actually, even if the Nesachim is Kasher and the carbon is Pasul, the Nesachim will become Pasul because of the carbon and will lose its qualification as being something that should be sacrificed. Or let's say, Afilah Zevach Epsilon, even if both the Zevach and the Nesachim are Pasul, so interestingly is that HaZevach LeYerid, the carbon will not come down if it's Pasul. Even if, let's say, it was the Pasul one and the Nesachim is the Kasher one, the carbon is something that's fit for the fires or something that's fit for the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach already sanctifies, it's not going to come down. But v'hanasachim yerdu. However, the libations will come down. Why? As we're going to see, the reason in the Gemara is because the altar does not sanctify things that become invalidated only if they're coming because of themselves, but not if they're coming as secondary to something else, as the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning of Reb Shimon. So when the nesachim come b'glal hazevach, then actually it's going to be yerdu. When they come by themselves, then it's going to be le'yerdu. So regarding the halacha of Nesachim, which we had a machlekes in the Mishnah, B'shimim Gamliel, B'shimim takes a middle path, again, coming from a totally different reason, but it's going to depend if it came because of itself or it's becoming as secondary from a carbon. Now, as Ketin Tamid Beis, the Gemara makes an inference of the opening halacha of the Mishnah, which already alluded to. The Mishnah said the Mizrach is Mekadesh es Haroloi. So says the Mishnah, Rolayin, sounds like, okay, only something that's fit for the Mizbeach and became Pasul, so although you're not supposed to sacrifice, but you did, we're not going to take it down. It's already considered Lachmoy, the Lechem of the Mizbeach. But She'ain Rolayin, it sounds like something that's not fit for it, not. Says the Gemara, Lamutema, what is that coming to exclude? What's something that, according to everybody, is not fit for the Mizbeach? Meaning, it's something that normally you would, because obviously we're only talking about something that the Mizbeach uses, that, but what we're saying, but it's Pasul. But we're saying that it was never verified yet, it was not never yet ready to be on the Mizbeach. What does that mean? So Amar Papa says, Lamu'uti kamatzin shle kitchu b'kli. As we explained already in the Mishnah, it's coming to exclude the fistful of the flour offering, which is normally sacrificed on the Mizbeach, but it yet wasn't yet sanctified in the vessel, and it became pasul, and then you put up on the top. So then regarding such a thing, it's not considered at all lach mishal Mizbeach, but it's not verified, and according to everyone, that's not going to be considered Babi Yossi. Hey, and you're going to take it down. Now, Maskev Ravina, he asked on this interpretation. He says, Maishnama de Ula. Why is it different than Ula's halacha? Dama Ula, he said, Emuri kachim kalin, regarding the sacrificial parts of a lower level carbon, like, let's say, a shlam. Shehelon lefnei zrikas daman, where if, let's say, it was put up on top of the mizbeach, which ultimately it's supposed to be, the emurin is supposed to be brought on top of the mizbeach, but it would put up on top of the mizbeach before the blood is thrown. Where the halacha is, it wasn't yet verified, it wasn't yet fit for the mizbeach yet. Because it's only when the blood of the carbon is thrown, which is the primary atonement, then it establishes, oh, now this is a carbon, because until the blood is thrown, it's not yet a valid carbon. Now it's a valid carbon. Now it establishes that, and this is an important idea why we're talking about the Imurim of Kachim Kalim, because Kachim Kalim do not have the halacha of me'ila, of misappropriation, meaning of being considered part of Hashem's thing, which only applies to its Imurim, only after the blood of the carbon is thrown. Meaning in contrast to, let's say, Kachim Kachim, the highest level, where from the beginning, from the get-go, it's considered Hashem's. And the sacrificial parts are already ready to be on the altar. So there's me'ila even before the blood is thrown. But regarding Kachem Kalim, there's no me'ila even in its emurin, because really the only thing that Mizbeach gets over there are the sacrificial parts. But as the Brisa teaches in Teres Kainim, it says Kachi Hashem, which means only things that are designated for Hashem, which excludes Kachem Kalim, where it's not designated for Hashem. It's something that's owned by the owners. But after the blood is thrown, then there is me'ila in the emurin, as the Gemara learns from the pasuk v'chalchel of Lashem, to include the emurim of kachem kalim after the blood was thrown, that then there's going to be halacha me'ila. And even so, says Ula, if the emurin were put up before the blood was thrown, so it's not roh, it's like this idea, it's not hoover yet to be sacrificed in the mizbeach, yet still says Ula, if it was put up before, lo yerdu, you're not going to take it down because nasu lach mishal mizbeach, already came the bread of mizbeach. But why? You just said according to everyone that's considered ein ro, like because it wasn't yet, it's like the same case as the kaim mishal kitcha b'kli, it's not fit yet, although the kaim ultimately will be, but you didn't sanctify the vessel here also, the imurim ultimately will be, but it wasn't, the blood wasn't thrown yet, so it's not verified, it's not ready for it. So what's the difference? So the Gemara, the difference is Hanach le michsru ma'isa b'gufayu. Regarding that case of the emurin of Ula, there the invalidation is from something else, simply because it's regarding the throwing of the blood that wasn't done yet. So it's something unrelated to the actual thing. It's dependent on it, but there's nothing wrong with the emurin. So that's what Ula says. Okay, if it was put up, you're not going to take it down. But Hani Mixer Maisab Gufaya, the case that we're excluding from the Halacha Mishra according to everyone of the Kemitza, it's something lacking in the Kemitza itself. This problem in the flower offering. It was supposed to be put in the vessel. So it's something wrong with that. That everyone's going to agree, even Ula, that that's considered Ein Arola, and that we're going to take down in contrast to the Murim Lefnei Zrika Sadam. Now the Mishnah said that a Machlekes, that Rabbi Shua, I mean, he said, how do we qualify what's considered Rola? It says, Kala Roli Isha. V'chulu. Whatever's fit for the fires in the Mizbeach, and if it's possible, then you're not going to take it down. Whereas we got quoted in Malil, that he says, no, whatever goes on in the Mizbeach, if it became possible, you're not going to take it down. Says the Gemara of Rebbe Malil Nami, but what does he do? Hoksiv, Oila Al-Maikta, which we had quoted from Yeshua in the Mishnah, seemingly it says clearly by identifying that we're comparing to the Oila, what goes up on the top, that it's going to stay Babiasi, hey, it's going to stay where it's in that state, you're not going to take it down. Al-Maikta, something that's put on the fire. How could he say that he includes everything on the Mizbeach? Although it says the words on Mizbeach, but it's qualifying it by saying Al-Maikta, says the Gemara, Hahu la hadure peikin hu de'asrim. Lil holds that word Al-Maikta is coming to teach different halachas. It's not going on the drush that we're saying regarding things that became invalidated, but you're going to keep it on the top, Babiyas Nihei. Rather, it's going on valid karbanos, which were thrown off from the fire. Sometimes the fire bursts and the limb gets shot off from the fire of the Mizbeach. That's what the pasuk is saying, that al-maikta, that you put it back onto the fire, which, because you could read the word mikda, its fire, with like a mapik hey, which is that the fire that already was its fire, what do you mean, its fire? Oh, because it already was on. It was on the fire, it got burst off. That's what's saying al-maikta, is that you put it back on, but it's not teaching a qualifier in regarding the psulim, what could stay up once it was put up. No, that's everything al-mizbech, al-maikta is teaching a different halacha. But Vehidach, Rabbi Yeshua would tell you, Laduri Pekin Menale, where does he know that halacha? He's using Al-Maikta to qualify the Psulim. How does he know this halacha? Nafkele, he learns from a pasuk in Bayikra. Me'asher Teichal O'esh. Where seemingly these words in the pasuk are superfluous, because the pasuk there is in Bayikra Perek Vav Pasuk Gimel that says, Stoma Trumas Adeshin, Veher Mas Adeshin. It says the Kayin should lift up the ashes. And it says that Asher Teichal O'esh, which the fire had consumed. Now, obviously, that the ashes are what the fire had consumed. Why is it asher teichal ha'esh? Rather, it's coming to make an exposition, like to read it asher ta'achal ha'esh, which the fire had consumed and then burst off this oila from the Mizbeach. That's what it's saying, to go back and put it back onto the Mizbeach. That's what we're learning from this word of asher teichal ha'esh, which is that asher ta'achal ha'esh, that it consumed and burned and thrown it off, that you put it back on those things which were already the fire taken a hold of, you put it back onto the fire. Now, Vidach Bedrim Li would tell you, now, Humi Bayle, that pasuk you need to teach a different halacha. That's Li Kuli Oila Tamach. It's coming to teach you that only things which were consumed, because that's what the pasuk says of it, Asher Teichel Eish Es Ha'Oila, it's only the consumed parts of an oil that got burst off and fell off that you put it back on. But via tamachse kuli kitayis. But saying, but let's say on the Mizbech Azav, the kitayis, the incense that was there burst off, that there, you're not going to put it back on. The Tani Reb Chanina bar Menyumi bar Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, that he taught the following braisa. Says in the pasuk, Asher Teichalo Eish Es Ha'Oila al Mizbech, which we just quoted. That which the fire consumed of the oila, which is on the Mizbech. Which teaches, ikuli oila tamachse, only the consumed parts of limbs of an oila you put back on. But you don't put back on the consumed parts of the Keteris. So therefore, you can't learn that from this Pasuk. Rather, he learns that from the other Pasuk. But on that, V'idach, Rabbi Yeshua would tell you, no. But don't you anyways then know, yes, it's teaching you only Kuli Oila, but not a Kuli Keteris. But obviously, insinuating in that is that, but a Kuli Oila you do put back on. So therefore, you don't need the other Pasuk of Al-Maikta to teach you that you put back on. And therefore, he has Al-Maikta extra as a qualifier to say specifically only things that are li'ishim, that are put on the fire, like Al-Maikta, that's where mi'allah la'yerdu. But if it's just things that go on the Mizbeach, not like Amulil or Mishu says, like by the Dam and the Sachem, that it will come down. Now the Mishnah continued and quoted Amulil, he disagreed, as we said. Kalaro b'chuli says anything that's fit for the Mizbeach is not going to come down, even if it's not just fit for the fire. So on that asked the Gemara, Rabbi Shua Namik said Mizbeach, what is Rabbi Shua going to do? Because Rabbi Gamliel in a way is correct too. After saying Al Maik, it says Al Mizbeach. But according to Rabbi Shua, it's only Al Maik. Why would it say the words Al Mizbeach? Sounds like Rabbi Gamliel that anything that's on the altar. Says the Gemara, Nahahu Mi Boile. That's necessary because my Kam Rachmana, what do you think the Pasuk is saying over here? It's explaining the rationale. It's saying, Kala Ro La Maikta, which yeah, like Rabbi Shua says, is only something that's fit for the fires. When it ends off the pasuk al mizbeach, it's telling you that mikadish mizbeach, the altar sanctifies it. It's coming to tell you the reasoning. Why don't you take it down? Because the altar is sanctifying it. It becomes like lach mishal mizbeach, but it's not saying that anything that's ro mizbeach. It's only something that's ro leishim, like it says al maikta. But v'idach Rambam would tell you that how do we know the halacha? Because he says al mizbeach is coming to qualify. Not to say the reasoning. How does he know that the reason is because the Mizbeach is Mekadashit? It says Mizbeach Achriniksev. There's a different pasuk that mentions this idea. It's in Shmoyis Chavtes that says Kol Negei B'Mizbeach Yiktash. Whatever touches the altar will sanctify it. And therefore, this Al Mizbeach, he says, is a qualifier to include anything that's Oyla Mizbeach, including Dam and Nesachim. But V'idach Rabbi Yeshua would tell you, no. You need both Mizbeachs. None of them is a qualifier. One of the words Mizbeach is coming to tell you this reason that Mizbeach is Mekadeshed when it already had a moment of validity to sacrifice it before it became invalidated. For example, if let's say it was left over the amount of time or left the perimeter or became tummy, but it had a moment of eligibility. So we're saying that's one case that if it became possible, Im Allah Yedu. V'chad, the extra reference of the Mizbeach b'Mekadeshit, is coming to say even a bigger chiddush. L'heicha de lo hoysel ha-shasakayish, even if it never had a moment of eligibility, for example, let's say it was this carbon that became possible, was slaughtered with the intention of chutz zmanei or chutz kaimai, then even over there, the halacha is going to be, if it's something that's fit for the ishim, then all lo yeidu. But you don't have any al Mizbeach extra to qualify. But v'idach Rambam will tell you that no, you can't tell me that you're using both terms of Mizbeach to say, when do you say this Mizbeach Mekadesh, one if it has a Shazakesh and even if it didn't have a Shazakesh? Because he says, Kivin Ibsula Ninu, they're both invalid, whether it had a Shazakesh or not, they're both invalid, they became possible. Whether because it was slaughtered like that or because it was left over a certain time, it went out of the perimeter. And Rabin Rechmona, but the Torah is including it and saying, even if something that became possible, Im Allah Yerdu, so Loishno Hisla Shazakesh, Loishno Lohisla Shazakesh. There's no difference to say that. Two times would it say the word Mizbeach to include both? There's no difference. They're both possible anyway. And therefore, he has that extra one, Al Mizbeach, as extra to be, as he said, as a qualifier to say not only if it was Ro Le'ishim, but even if it was just Ro Le'Mizbeach, Halacha is, it was possible. If it went up, Im Alu, La'yeri, you're not going to take it down. Now, the next opinion the Mishnah mentioned, as we said, Rabbi Shimonim, he says that if it came with a carbon, and then he went through three different cases, Hazevach Kasher v'chul, if the carbon's Kasher and the Nesachim is possible, or the Nesachim is Kasher and the Zevach is possible, or they're both possible, so then the Nesachim is going to be Im Alu, that Yerdu. If it went up by itself, then it's going to be Im Alu, Yerdu. So what's the reason for this? So Tanya learned the Braisa, it's not based on the Machlekes regarding learning it, how we learned that Pasuk Al-Mikta Al-Mizbeach, which was the Machlekes, there's a primary Al-Mikta, there's a primary Al-Mizbeach. No, he's coming from a different point. The Braisa teaches this opinion of Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, I mean, he says, this Pasuk of Oila Al-Mikta Al-Mizbeach, it says Oila. So he learns, not from Al-Mikta Al-Mizbeach, from the word Oila. What are we learning from Oila? Why are we learning out this halacha of Im Allah Yerdu from Oila? To tell you, ma oila habo beglal atzma, just like the carbon oila, it comes by itself, not coming secondary to anything else. Afkala boin beglal atzma, so to anything that comes because of itself, then it's going to have the halacha if it's possible im allo yerdu. Yatz nesacham haboim beglal zevach, but that excludes libations that they're not coming because of themselves; they're coming secondary as an add-on because of the carbon. Then it's not going to have the halacha im allo yerdu, and rather, even if it went up, it's going to come down. Now, the Gemara continues with regards to this halacha of our Mishnah, quoting a different set of Tanoim. Rabbi Yisig Lili Omer, he says, Mitech Shenema, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Kala Negeya B'Mizbeach Yiktash, as we quoted that Pasuk before, but we, in our Mishnah, were primarily based on one Pasuk, a Pasuk in Bayikra, which is this, Hiyo Eila Al Maikta Al Mizbeach Kala Laila Adabayke, now we're quoting a Pasuk in Shemais. Says it basically, it says in Shemais, whatever touches the altar will sanctify it. So says it basically, I would understand from this pasuk, bein ro, vein shayna ro. Whether it's fit for the mizbech or not, no, touches it, it's sanctified, you don't take it down. Tamalayma, that's the next pasuk afterwards, says, This is what you should do. What do you do with the altar? You should bring karbanos, which are kvasim. These are the lambs. Now, why is this pasuk right after this pasuk of the mizbeach be mekadeshet? Says it basically is coming to teach you the following halacha. Ma kvasim ru'uyin, just like lambs are something that's fit to be sacrificed on the mizbeach, of kol ro, it's qualifying the previous pasuk, saying also, yeah, this halacha that the mizbeach is in kaddish, even something that's pasul, has to be something that's at least fit for the mizbeach. If not, you just put something totally unrelated, something that's not kosher, or something that's not, no shaykhis, then it's not going to sanctify it. And then it will be yared. Rabbi Kivaimer, he brings a different source. In that same pasuk, it says oila, which he learns from there. Ma oila ru'uyin, just like an oila offering is fit to be put on the mizbeach. Av kol ru'uyin, so to anything that's fit is going to be the halachim olo yerdu. So says Gemara, but now what's in between them? Both are learning whether from kvasim or oila, that's only something that's ro. Says Amr Vad Rav, he says, oila's ha'if pesulek b'nai. The difference between them is a bird carbon oila that became invalidated, that's going to be the difference. Mar ma'isi lo me'oila, Bekiva, as we just mentioned, learns out the inclusionary halacha of im olo yerdu as a qualifying from the word oila. So he's going to say it's not going to come down because oil includes also oil asalif. But a mar maisilar basically brought it to sanctify those things that became invalid, mikavasim, from lambs, which are animals and not birds. And therefore the halacha would be im olo yerdu. Now, however, the Gemara now asked on both interpretations. But alman de maisilar mikavasim, the one who learns it out from lambs, but haksiv oil, it says oila. So oil includes all oilas that are as a qualifier im olo yerdu, which should include oil asalif. Says the Gemara, no, because iksiv kvasim loy oila, had we only said lambs, yeah, the primary is lambs, because it has to be animals. But had it only said that and not said oila, havamina filimechaim, I would have thought to say that this halacha of psulim of im olo yerdu would even be if this pasul carbon was still alive. What type of psul is still alive? By animals that have a certain blemish. According to Rabbi Kiva, who he actually validates in the animals, certain types of animals that have certain types of blemishes after it was slaughtered, that im olo yerdu. So you would have thought to say that these blemished animals, even when they're alive, if they put on the mizbeach, the halacha would be im olo lo yerdu. Kasar rachmana oila, that's why, according to this opinion, you have to say oila, to say only when it's fit to be put up. Like the word oila means going up. When's it fit to go up? Only after it's slaughtered. But if it's still alive, then no one's going to say im olo lo yerdu. Now the Gemara asks, according to the other opinion, man de maisi lama oila, the one that learns that from oila, which we said includes even oila sa'if, but hoksev kvasim, but it does say lambs, which seemingly is saying only animals, how could you include birds too? Says the Gemara, no, because, yeah, although the primary is oila, but iksev oila like siv kvasim, had we only said oila and not lambs, havimina fila mincha, I would have thought any type of oila, even if it's a oila's mincha, a flower offering oila. Kasev rachmana kvasim, that's why I said lambs, to minimize this halacha of oila, but not to say only animals and not birds, it's just coming to exclude that from mincha there, the halacha is going to be im olu, even according to the one who learns from oila, there's going to be im olu yerdu. Now the Gemara asks, ma'ika bein hani tanoi, what's the difference between these tanoim that we're quoting now, basic lili and Rabbi Kiva, lahani tanoi de misnida, to the tanoim of Armish, to which we're in lili and Rishua, who they're both saying the same type of halachas, they're qualifying, that has to be, as Armish said, the mizbech and mekadesh eserole, what's fit for it. They seem to all be saying the same idea that it has to be eserole. Now they are learning it from different psukim, and Armish they were disagreeing regarding the pasuk in Vayikra, here oila al maikta, is al maikta, or is al mizbech. Here they're disagreeing in the pasuk in Shemais regarding when we say this halacha, as the next pasuk says, is it only kvasim or is it oila? So what's the halachic differences? So Amar Papi says, kamatzim shekitsu b'kli. The difference is regarding a flour offering that its fistful was sanctified already in the vessel and then it became pasul. That's ikabinai. That's the difference between these sets of tanoim. The tanoi didan, according to the tanoim of our Mishnah, Mingli, and Rishua, Layerdu, they're both going to agree that it's not going to come down. Because they learn out from the pasuk of a yikra, whether from the word maikta or mizbech. Now, the kamitza of the flour offering is both roi la mizbech and roi la maikid, because the flour offering is burnt on the fires of the mizbech. So since it was fit for that until it became pasul, there they're both going to agree, im olo yerdu. But the tanoi de masnita, according to Rabbi Yisrael Gleiner Bekiva, the tanoim of this brisa we just quoted before, who learned from the pasuk in Shemais, they're both going to agree that yerdu, it will come down. Because they require, at least, if not a keves, which is an animal, so even Rabbi Kiva, who includes all oilas, but like we said, the most of the oilas that includes is not only oilas behema, but also oilas sa'if. But they both agree, if it's a flower offering, it will come down. And therefore, that's the difference regarding the case of kamatzim shekitsu b'kli between the tanoim of our Mishnah and the tanoim of the Brisa. Now, the Gemara concludes this whole discussion by saying, and the gears switches it around, Amar Resh Lakish, because it's not coming to disagree with anything we said before, it's his own independent statement, that he says as follows. He puts together all the four Tanaim, the five Tanaim that we had mentioned, regarding what's going to be the halachas in the following cases. So he says, Mincha haba befnei asma, regarding a flower offering that comes by itself, meaning for itself. For example, if someone makes a nedava, he donates to the Beis HaMikdash a minchas nesachim, a flower offering of libations, without a carbon, where it's possible to do that, as the Gemara says later on, the Tzadi Alvim and Beis. So says Resh Lakish, ledivrei kulam, according to all the opinions, which means to say the majority opinion. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about Imlil and Yeshua of our Mishnah, where they included, at least, the minimum was, at least, if it's Ro Le'ishim, it's fit for the fires, and Minchas Nesachim are fit for the fires. So to Reb Shimon, who included anything that comes by itself, meaning even the Mincha, he said if it comes by itself, the Halacha, he says, if it becomes invalidated and if it goes up, so all these opinions are going to hold that light tarot. It's not going to be taken down. Because even Reb Shimon, who disagreed, only disagreed if it came because of a carbon. But if the Mincha was coming for itself, so these three Tanom of our Mishnah are going to hold that it's not going to come down. But Divrei Beisik Lili Reb Akiva, who in this case, the reason why I called them, the other ones were Kulan, because they're the majority. These Tetanum of the Brice that we just brought before, they would hold the Teret as we continue to have a Pedal Manav, it's going to come down. Because as we said, the most that they're going to include from the qualifying him, Allah Yerdu, is something that like an Ayla, which at least, either an animal, at least a bird, but not a flower offering. So therefore, this Mincha that came by itself is going to come down if it was possible. Continues Rish Lakish. Mincha ba im hazevach. Regarding a mincha that was coming because of a carbon. Many karbanis need to have a mincha that comes with it, but the primary is the carbon. So then, says Resh Lakish, ledivrei remlil Reb Yeshua leteret, according to Remlil Yeshua in our Mishnah, it's not going to come down. But ledivrei kulan teret, but regarding the majority opinion, it will come down, meaning if it was possible. Because according to Reb Yisrael Glili and Reb Akiva, it's going to come down because it's a mincha. According to Reb Shimon, it's going to come down because it came because of a carbon. Now, according to Remlil Yeshua, it's not going to come down because it's something that's fit for the Mizbeach, and it's even fit for the Maikid. It gets burnt on the fires. Next case. Nesachim habon b'fnei asma. Before we spoke about a mincha that comes by itself, which is a flower offering. Now we're talking about libations. For example, let's say someone donates wine without a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, which the Mishnah Menachas Tav Kof Dalman Beis teaches, that one could make an adava for the Mizbeach of just wine. So we're talking about the Nesachim, which primarily the Nesachim were the wine libations, that's coming by itself. So says Resh Lakish, ledivrei kulan, the meaning according to the majority opinions, which is Rabbi Yisi and Rabbi Kiva, which they hold that it has to be an animal or a bird, and Rabbi Shu, which holds that it has to be something that's put on the fire, which Nesachim is neither one of these two categories. Nesachim does not go on the fires, it goes in the corner on the Shisen, and it's obviously not a living thing. So regarding the majority opinion, Yerdu, it's going to come down. But ledivrei mlil, Rabbi Shimon, leyerdu. According to mlil, it's something that's fit for the Mizbeach, that's enough, and therefore it's not going to come down. According to Rav Shimon, since it's coming by itself, so just like the oil comes by itself, here the Nesach Moshe comes by itself, it's not going to come down. Next case. Nesachin haboim im hazavach. Regarding libations that many karbanis have, we say this in davening, we say this carbon v'niskehen and their libations. So libations are coming with a carbon, so that's important. When we say libations, we mean so it's not a living thing. It's also not something that's put on the fires. Moreover, it's coming because of a carbon, it's not coming by itself. So ledivrei kulan yerdu, according to the majority opinion, it's going to come down. Because Shimon who holds has to come by itself, it's not come by itself. According to Rabbi Yisrael Glili and Rabbi Kiva, it has to be a living thing, it's not a living thing. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it has to be in the fires, it's not going in the fires. So according to almost everyone, it's going to come down. But ledivrei mlil, l'chudela yerdu, only according to mlil, it's not going to come down. Because ultimately, it's something that's royal mizbeach, and that's all mlil requires, and therefore it's amalu l'yerdu. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, pretty obvious that this is the halacha, because we know, according to Yeshua, the primary thing is something that goes on the fires, then it doesn't come down. If it doesn't go on the fires, it does come down. According to we know it has to be something that's fit for the Mizbeach. According to Shimon, it has to be coming by itself. According to the Tanami, the Brayza, basically in Mekiva, we know that a mincha is not included. So what's Resh Lakish telling us by saying all these halachas? So says the Gemara, Mincha bo b'fnei atzma es tzuchle. What was necessary was, not even so much detailing these different opinions of the Tanayim, he was just coming to actually say, a chiddush, that there is such a case, a category, of a minchas nesachim, of a flower offering of libations, that could come by itself. Uka de Rava, and he was like teaching the halach of Rava. Dama Rava, he says, Misnadav adim minchas nesachim, a person could donate every day a flower libations without a carbon. Now, although the Torah doesn't say anywhere explicitly this halacha of michas kal, we call it like michas nesachim, because the flower offering gets totally burnt on the mizbeach. It only mentions it in the Torah when it comes with a carbon. But that's what Rav is teaching, and what maybe Rosh Lakish is teaching too. That, but when you specify you want to bring a michas nesachim, that you could. But that is the Gemara. If that's what he's teaching, and just incidentally, he's then saying what the different Tanoi opinions would be, then Menishmeina, then let Rosh Lakish teach explicitly to the Rav. Let him say straight up, why is he teaching this whole, as if he's teaching us something, a chiddush, and what one of the Tanoi hold? Says the Gemara, no, Nesachim haboim im hazevach istuchle. What was necessary for Rosh Lakish to teach us is the case of when the libations are coming because of the carbon. And he was coming to teach us, yes, a chiddush of one of the Tanoic opinions, that of Reb Shimon, that it's going to come down. For example, the Kamakari v'lohu l'machu l'yem achara, and that we're talking about where the Nesachim actually didn't come the same day as the carbon. Meaning, although it's coming because of the carbon, it was brought at a later day. Which the halacha was taught already in Daf Memdal Man Aleph, the halacha is that a person could bring his carbon today, and his libations that are only coming as second day of the carbon could be brought from now up until 10 days later. And the way we know that is because, like the Gemara said over there, from the extra words of Menchasim and Niskeyem, which by the Kabbanis of the Yom Tovim, which are extra, which teach us that they could even be brought at a later day. Oh, so says the Gemara, that's what Rosh Lakish is teaching us in Reb Shimon's opinion. Because I would have thought to say, since the Master said, Menchasim and Niskeyem, Balailo, that their flower offerings, their libations, can be brought at night. Menchasim and Niskeyem, Lamachem, it can be brought tomorrow, meaning it can even be brought 10 days from now. Oh. So what does that have relevancy? So therefore, when you bring it 10 days later, maybe you were thinking, so therefore maybe we should consider it like they're coming by their own self. Because not coming on the same day as the carbon. And therefore, so maybe we would have thought to say in that case, of when the minchas nesachim that come im hazevach, but they're not coming on the same day as the zevach, they're coming a different day. So maybe you would view it as if it's coming by itself, where the Reb Shimon holds when it comes by itself, it does not come down. That's what Rosh Lakish is teaching us, that no, ultimately it's still secondary to the Zevach, although we're allowed to bring it 10 days later, but we're not going to view it as it when it comes by itself, and then when there's a psul, it's not like Eilu, which comes Beklal Atzma, it comes because of itself, and although it's coming on a different day, that's what Rosh Lakish is saying in Rosh Lakish's opinion, that it is going to come down, according to Rosh Lakish.